This is message, M075, The Salvation of the Soul. A word given by Cecil J. DeCille, 1st of August, 1973.
We are going to talk about the salvation of the soul. And that message is 738E1. Now, the salvation of the soul and the dimensional word. Never forget this as long as you live. That every word God talks to you, it has depth. Never try to figure out the word of God in the natural. For if you do, you'll only get the natural meaning. Amen. Now, see, there we are. Let me go back on what I was saying. The gifts of the Spirit, therefore, working through her, when she brings forth a word, it is generally from the Spirit. I've never known her to get up and give a word that was not the Spirit. Her problem is not getting up. Not getting up. My goodness. I wanted to say, our problem is not getting up. Our problem is not... Oh my goodness, I'm going to see how I can say that right. Our problem is not jumping up when she shouldn't be jumping up. Instead of saying getting up. Our problem is not getting up when she should have got up. Amen. And this, the Bible says, in the natural, let the women keep silent. In the natural, the women, number one, it meant women. Females. Amen. On the natural plane, it means females. Now, isn't that lie? I mean, you're not happy to hear that? Yeah. Yeah. That is, if you have an organization that is not being run by God, and it is a natural setup, you have to keep the women in control, or else they will just take over and break up the thing. You see? That's the situation. That's what it means. In the natural, if it's a natural thing. Now, if it's a spiritual church, in the spiritual, female means what could I find one word? Well, it wouldn't explain it. Female means anybody who is out of the spirit. Would that explain it?
No.
All right, those not in spirit. That's what female means. So, you ask me why female in the spiritual means those who are not in the spirit. Female in the spiritual means those who are not in the spirit, because in the spirit, Jesus is the male. He is the head of the church, and he's the husband of the church. And when Jesus is present, we shouldn't be talking our mind, what we think and how we feel and what we believe. You get the idea? So, Jesus is here in the meeting as a brother, sitting down in one of the seats. And since he's here as a brother, nobody should speak or give any word unless it is Jesus speaking through them. Take it in the natural, brethren. If Jesus walked in through this door and sit down, would you want to get up and minister?
No,
we would want to hear him. This is the same condition when we meet together. He said, lo, we're twice we are gathered together, I am there. So when anybody get up in self to minister, in a spiritual church, you are actually going against the head, because you are just in the place of the woman who would get up and tongue lash somebody and things like that. So this is what God is talking about. Amen. So in the perfect realm, the woman is the perfect church. See? So this is the fulfillment of woman. In Revelation 12, the woman was crowned with 12 stars. She was now a queen, the wife of Jesus Christ. As the wife of Christ, the church, the bride. So all of us, whether we be male or female, we are woman. We are in the feminine when it comes to Jesus Christ. And if Jesus Christ comes in the midst and he feels to touch this little baby girl and use her to minister to us, we better hear her. Amen. You know, yesterday I was going on down the street, and what came to me, a scripture, it says, men of low degree is vanity, and men of high degree is a lie. Yeah, that's what the psalm or proverb. Did you ever think of it? Men of low degree say, oh, poor me, I'm so good. Yeah, it's because you wanted to be great while you're saying that. It's just vanity. You're not worse than anybody else. And men of high degree, oh, thank God I am better than all those people up there. It's just a lie. Praise God. So you see, we are only instruments of God, and we are either going to be used or not used. You see. So none can boast that I am a better instrument than you, are made out of better flesh than you. Because any time one flesh is weak on this side, it has a strength over the other side. And when you are strong on this side, you got a weakness over the other side. So there's nothing in flesh that we can boast about. So when you feel that your flesh is not as pretty and as good as the other person, and you said, oh, I commit so much wretched sin just because you don't know what the other person did. Brother, I'm telling you, anytime you start crying down yourself, you want to hear some people's testimony. I gave my testimony one time, and they came to me and asked me, say, please don't give that testimony again. You see, it lowers you in the eyes of the people. Yeah. You know, so many of these guys, when they get up to give their testimony, they give the better part of it, you know, and they leave the dirty part outside. Yes, the part which tells the people that you are just a dog. You then leave that part outside, and always telling the pretty part. So some poor little Christian says, Lord Jesus, you know, when I think of brother so-and-so, he's so great and so wonderful, I just feel I'm nothing. It's a lie. It's a lie. Men of high degree is a lie. They don't have any of them around. Right. Amen. So let's praise God for what Jesus Christ is and what Jesus Christ has made us. Bless God. Bless his holy name. Now, therefore, coming back to the point of my beginning here, the manifestation of the Spirit in your midst is what the church is having. But you are not recognizing it. Everybody here has spiritual perceptions. This is the reason why you accept what I tell you. Because you had it already in you. It is your spirit that's saying, yes, yes, yes. You got it. I am only bringing it to your conscious mind, the notice of your conscious mind. It lies there in your spirit. Or in your subconscious. Now, because this is so, then this is what we are driving at. We want the people of God begin to recognize what's going on in them and begin to bring it forth. You know, you mustn't be ashamed if you bring forth and you're wrong. You know, I've stood up and seen people and said, a woman sitting before me, a sister. I said to her, "Sister," I said, "you ever had a vision in your life?" She said, "No, me?" She said, "No, I don't even dream." I said, "Sister, you dream. You're not remembering your dreams, but you're dreaming." She said, "Oh, no." You know. I said, "Sister, you know something? The Lord just showed me that you are having a vision right now." She said, "What?" She said, "No, you must be crazy." No. I kept provoking her. I said, "But you do have a vision." She went on. I said, "Okay. I said, sister, tell me what you were thinking while I was preaching here." She said, "Well, I was thinking of a rose garden, and I saw so and so and so," and then she began to tell me a love vision. I said, "But then you think in technicolor and all that sort of thing." And she said, my lord, but it was like I was there, you know. She had seen a vision, she didn't even know. It wasn't in her conscious mind at all. Amen. I can be dealing with you all day and talking to the Lord and seeing visions, and I don't remember until after I leave you and go, and I know my instructions. And I said, "But when did I get those instructions and I was busy all day?" Outside of time and space, God doesn't have to work in time and space. In my operations in the spirit, I have been more than one place at the same time, seeing and hearing and understanding things that I couldn't possibly have been in two places at the same time. Yet it was this one time I had, and I was there, and I knew what was going on. And the same with you. It's just that you don't remember. But as you get more conscious of the spirit, less conscious of this creature here, just forget him, man. If people say he's a dog, agree with them. Yeah. So that fellow out there is a low down dog or something. I agree with you, buddy. You take away his zip because you agree with him. Amen. You know you're no good, so why quarrel if somebody say you're a dog?
Amen.
Yeah. You know what I mean. So here we are. We see the church in a position right now that you need to begin to practice the works of the Spirit in you. And this is, I want you to turn your Bibles with me to Luke chapter 19 and verse 19 and verse 10. Luke chapter 19, verse 10. Somebody read that for me aloud.
"For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost."
That which was lost. The Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. You know, if Jesus Christ had said to you that you are lost, then the next question would be, what are you, Jesus, going to save? Because if Jesus saved my soul and left my body to go into hell and rot and perdition, then I have been partly saved. If he saved my spirit and left my soul, I would be lost. If he saved my soul and my body and left my spirit out, I would be partly saved. Therefore, that which was lost, you notice the Bible didn't say Jesus Christ came to save your soul. In some places it said came to save sinners. But Jesus Christ came to save you, spirit, soul, and body. Amen. And that's you. Now, I want you to turn to John 3. And let us all read from verse 16 to verse 19. We want to all read in concert together. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Bless his holy name. This we find a plan of salvation in a nutshell. God is saving us because he loved us. And he gave us enough human love that we can barely perceive the love of God. The human love God gives us is the love of a woman to her little baby. She don't intend to be profited by that child. You don't intend that the reason why you are investing in the child, your time and your love and your attention, is because the child is going to turn you over a big profit someday to come. All you want is to make her a good human being. Amen. And an object of love, and it has no reason to it. Amen. Love has no reason to it. And this is what God is trying to tell us. That God so loved the world that he sacrificed the greatest thing that he had, which was his Son. Now, God say he did not send Jesus here to condemn the world. Do you believe that? Amen. Amen. Therefore, Jesus Christ is in the saving business. And so are you. You are in the saving business. And if you can take a few bounces to save a human being some embarrassment or some hope, to encourage, bring some hope or some life in that person, you should take the bounces gladly. This is what is meant by the prophecy which says, take up your cross and follow me. Yeah, your cross, not Jesus' cross. Your cross. Take up your cross so that you will do the things that Jesus do for the reasons that Jesus do the things that Jesus do. Now you have people preaching everywhere. Show me the preachers that are preaching the gospel because they love the people. Just for love and nothing more. They don't care if they die. They only want to live to give somebody else the life they have received. Hallelujah. This is true preaching. And any man who preaches like that, God's going to give him the goods. You better believe me, God's going to give him the goods. Bless his holy name. And when God was sending me out, he said, look, man, he said, no man will be able to stand before you. And I'm yet to see the man who stands. Everyone that rises up against me get cut down, and I don't do him anything. Because I love him, and my hope is that he should be delivered. And some of these brothers can't be delivered unless they are cut down from their high, exalted positions. And I've seen God deliver many men by cutting them down. Many men thought they were going places. I have a friend who thought he was going places in a certain big Pentecostal church. He was way up the top. He had come out with his master's degree and he was doing fine. God cut him down with this sickness. Yeah. And you know, when he lost his nervous breakdown, and began to talk all kinds of foolishness, they ran from him like he had leprosy, and they cast him out. Yes, sir. They put him out. Yeah. They couldn't accept the fact that a preacher could get be possessed by the devil. And yet he was. So the next thing to say, well, he must have backslidden. He must have done God some great harm. Let's get rid of him out of here. A man who worked faithfully. So praise be to God, Jesus is in the saving business, and so are we. And this is our only desire, to seek and to save them that were lost. Now, verse 19 said, this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world. Didn't you think that he would say, this is the condemnation, that somebody commit adultery, or somebody commit fornication, or somebody commit murder? Don't you think he'd say, this is the condemnation? No, that's not the condemnation. That's trash. He just kicked that aside. God just put that behind him. When you come to Jesus Christ, all the murder you commit in your life, God put it behind him. Amen. Yeah. All the sins you commit, God puts it behind him. The only condemnation there is for the man who rejects Jesus Christ. Why? It's simple. There is a door. There is a fire in the house. One door through which you may escape. And you said, I'd rather die than go through that door. Then you'll die. That's the only condemnation you have, that you reject the door, Jesus Christ, the only way of salvation. Yeah. Hallelujah. But you see, the word Jesus Christ is deeper than the just saying Jesus Christ is a man. It's much, much deeper. The word Jesus Christ has three depths, just like I showed you there. And so the word Jesus Christ goes right down to the revelation of Christ within and the revelation of Christ without. Amen. Jesus Christ is a man. Jesus Christ is a revelation within you. And Jesus Christ, the revelation within your brother and in the world. It's an explosion that is to occur within our realm. So Jesus Christ is just not just a man that's gone to heaven and one day is coming down back to kill all our enemies and to set us up on kingdoms, Charles to rule. It's not true. Jesus Christ is right here tonight. Amen. Jesus is here tonight. For those who have eyes to see him, you will see him. Many of us have seen Jesus Christ with our natural eyes. Jesus Christ is here tonight. And Jesus Christ is in here. It's in a different form. Amen. He's in here as a seed. He's out there as a man. Hallelujah. He's coming as a body. Amen. A head and a body together, you are part of that body. Amen. Jesus is the head, and when the head comes down on the body, then the world is going to see a Jesus Christ that they never talked about. Many remember Jesus walking and talking in a million places at the same time. In the flesh. Hallelujah. Not talking about spirit now. Walking and talking in a million different spots at the same time in the flesh. Amen. This is Jesus we're talking about. Hallelujah. Now, we see the tabernacle drawn there again. The fence around. An oblong figure drawn on the board. Outside of this figure here is called Egypt. Amen. Egypt. This here is called the gate. Enter in, not what kind of gate? The straight gate. For wide is the gate. And broad is the way to destruction. Many there be that enter in thereat. But straight is the gate, and narrow is the gate unto life, and few there be that enter in. So, we see when a man gets saved, he's entering into a straight gate. Did you ever notice that it was not straight? It was straight, meaning like they put you in a straight jacket. You can't turn. That's what it says about the gate. It doesn't mean that it is straight along. It doesn't have a bend and a bend here. It means that it is a straight, like you say, you're in a fix, you're in a straight. You want help. That's the kind of gate you're going through. A straight gate. Amen. Now, we find that the tent or the tabernacle itself inside of this yard is here is Canaan land. The holy place is Canaan land. Amen. And the Holy of Holies is the possession. So many came out of Egypt and never entered into Canaan. Many entered into Canaan and never got their possessions. Yes, sir. Amen. So, the central area or the Canaan land is called the soul. The realm of the soul. Amen. That is Canaan land. The realm of the soul. And to possess the soul, one has got to give up the soul. Amen. Brother Mark, where do we find that scripture? He that loveth his life shall lose it. He that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. Praise God. It wouldn't be Matthew chapter 5, would it? He that loveth his life.
John 12:25.
All right, John 12:25. Yes, he that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. Now that is a little more explanatory than the chapter I was quoting.
Matthew 10:39.
Yeah. I prefer it in John. John explains it a little better than Matthew 10:39. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Now, out in the outer court there is a dying. A man has got to die to sin. In sin we had many pleasures. And the pleasures of sin still beckons to a person who is in God. And we need a debt in that area wherein we are not interested in the things of sin as we used to be. We lost interest in them. There are things we used to do in sin. Competition, gambling. Some of us used to gamble, race horses, gamble at the sweepstake. you know, through all kind of gambling, and we don't do it anymore. We used to go to the parties and the dances, and we would dance all night, and we would say we have a good time, but we lost interest when Jesus came in. And I even lost interest in the movie theater, so that I haven't been to a theater in 27 years, more than that maybe. But I haven't been to a theater. Now this is no condemnation for those who go to a theater. If you can't stand it, go. But I can't stand it. Sometimes I wouldn't mind looking at the show, but I just can't stand the crowd. I just can't stand that kind of crowd, the whistling and the, you know, the way they behave in a theater, and the parts of the film that they would rejoice over and so on. And it's just not reasonable for me to waste the time, because I'm not getting any edification out of it, and so I don't waste the time. But as Christians, you know that a thing is not good, it's not edifying you, yet you still like to do it. And if you can go, you go praying to God, and God will show you everything in that film that is wrong. I never knew it was so horrible. The theater was so horrible until I got saved. And it was just a thing I couldn't face. We had a film, a Christian film, and we hired a theater to show the film. And this man said, well, there is a law that every time the theater is opened, they've got to show certain advertisements according to the contract they have. So, okay, we let him show his advertisement. And man, the advertisements almost killed me. Yeah, I saw them advertising all kinds of things. It was weird, you know. And so, I seeing the naked women and all that. Of course, you see that on the street every day, but you don't have to even look when you're on the street. But in the theater, you sit down looking at the screen. You have nothing else to do. And then they're plugging it into your mind. So, we come out of Egypt, and we have to die to sin. Die to sin in such a way that sin has no more dominion over us. Now I want you to let that soak down a little. Sin shall not have dominion. You notice the word? Sin still comes fooling around. It still attacks me. It knocks me down sometimes. But boy, you're no longer my boss, and you know it. Amen. Sin, you're no longer my boss, and sin starts backing off. And you start beating sin to the draw, and you start contriving ways and means to keep away from that which you are weak towards, until you become strong in these things. Amen. And one person's strength is another person's weakness. So nobody can flaunt against the other person. Amen. Because if you start flaunting against the other person, that's a weakness. Amen. Hallelujah. And anytime you see two people quarreling, you know they are of like spirit. It's two spirits that are fighting over the same bone. Now, let's go back. So in the outer court there is death to sin. What are we talking about? We are talking about Jesus Christ seeking and saving that which was lost. Now, God cannot breach your sovereign will. You are boss of you. Amen. No matter what you do with a child, that child is the decision maker as far as his or her soul is concerned in the long run. So, because you are boss of your own soul, How then is Jesus Christ going to save you? Amen. How is he going to save you? You will have to give him the right to save you, and yet you don't want salvation because you have nothing in you to pull you to God. This is where the world comes in. The world begins to plug you, lash over your back, and you turn around and you want to fight the world. You hate this world. Jesus said, well, maybe you want to change, brother. Amen. See, and some guy just come up and start to preach the gospel. See, there's a way, man. I got to change. I got away from the world. You see. And so, this is the way the gospel is preached. So the animal that comes in through here never yet come of his own free will. How would you like to see a cow stepping up to the... cow stepping in through the gate, going in... No, sir, that bull is fighting all the way. Six men got him down, wringing his tail and pushing him in, and they didn't have the fancy tactics that you guys have, brother. They were fighting them to get them in. And when they got that bull in and he starts reeling and jumping, man, somebody got in a stroke and pulled him. They put him up on that altar, cut his throat, get the blood running out. And that is how the thing went, and that's how you come into Christ. Never a man did walk into Jesus Christ of his own free will. It's the Holy Ghost that corralled him right into it. Yes, you get him moving. And sometimes you pray for a person. You say, oh, Jesus, bless Tom. Bless John, Lord, save his soul. You don't know what you're saying. You're telling God to knock him down, for he's a bad bull, and he's not going to give up fighting. And God will have to pull him to get him. Amen. And sometimes the pulling is rough, you know. Yes, sir. I know guy, he got pulled. He got pulled, and he finally had to die to make heaven. Yeah. So this is the situation. God is in the saving business. And God is after saving the whole man. This out here is your body. This out here is your spirit. And this is your soul. This is your soul. And so in the realm of the body, God puts a cross, suffering. Dead. You're going to have to die to some things you like. You're going to have to put them away, and that's the debt to sin. Hallelujah. Now you come here to this basin of water, and here we find the debt to self message. Let me tell you something. It's easier to die to sin than to die to self. Yes, sir. It's easier to stop committing sin and start moving with Christians than it is to get rid of your own selfish ways. Amen. And there are so many people, so many Christians, who are going around and profiting off being a Christian, making big deals out of it, making big profit out of it. It is the old-time self that's there. Go down the street and look at the churches. And just go into some of those churches. And these people will tell you how they love humanity and how they're sorry for people. I know a Christian woman now who works with us in the gospel. And sometimes she don't see a $10 unless we send one from the United States to give her in Jamaica. And she's as faithful as any human being could be. But they go without breakfast sometimes, without a meal for the day, and they still keep working for God. You see? And nobody thinks of them. Yet, you'll spend $1 million fixing up the interior of that church place you call a church down there. It's a murderous thing. I know where people are dying now. I took some clothes from the United States here to Jamaica, and I knew a man had 6 children, and his wife suffered from a nervous breakdown because just so horrible, no food or nothing. And they have a suit of clothes that goes around to different children. The others have to run naked while one has on the suit. Yeah. You go, I can show children now that never wear clothes. They don't have it. Maybe just a little vest some kids have on, that's all. See? And you throw these things away. You throw them away, man. Sometimes I see, my heart pains me. First time I came here, I picked up so much clothes that the transportation cost me $900. The transportation to take it down to Jamaica cost me $900. And I gave away every ounce of it. Anybody, I didn't give it to church people. I give it to people who needed it in the bushes, anywhere. People came to me and some of them asked me for a pant. And I was glad, praise God, I was glad I had it there to give them. And I gave away my own clothes and came back here with one suit, hoping that Jesus would give me. And as I came in, a friend said, well, I have 4 suits here for you. I mean, that's an everyday occurrence with us. But the people here don't know. Self, life is so strong that the churches are preaching self. You must strengthen our program. We want you as a member and to fill up our benches. Program, we want you self, 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 self. Hallelujah. They didn't get the death to self message. Out in the outer court is a place of death. Where men die to themselves, die to their own programs, die to their own thoughts, their own ideas. The Lord Jesus Christ, if I can be used, use me. Amen. In all our years of labor and suffering, before we came to the United States, we never had an offering from American Christians. You know why? We would never tell them our needs. And all those heap of missionaries you're sending down there, they get hooked up with certain religions. We weren't joined with any of these religions, neither would we go and tell them our needs. I remember one day God used me mightily in the spirit, and this whole church fell flat on the floor. And when this American man who was visiting came and heard it, he said, brother, how would you like to see New York? He said, oh, the Empire Statement. God, the thing hurt me. It just hurt me deep down. I said, my God, the man wants to get me in his thing. And if he had come to me and said, well, brother, I think God has something great for you. And if you ever feel, if the Lord leads you to visit the United States, would you, here is my address and we would help you, or something to that effect, right? Stopped to tell me about the Empire State Building. I said, thank you. I know New York and I don't like it. And I just walked off. Hurt me down to my soul. If that's the man I was going to work with spiritually, we wouldn't make it. Because he approached me with a carnal vision to show me the beauty of New York City. I know New York is a dump. Amen. Yeah, I was in New York in that VJ day when this news came that we had won the war. And my, what I saw there, man, I didn't want New York. I wouldn't have a dog that I would want to live there. Any one of you were there at the time, you must know the horrible things that happened. People just got wild and start doing everything right before everybody. Yes. The sailors and the soldiers just got wild and start rejoicing. do everything. Yeah, there was no law. Nobody could be arrested at that time. Blessed be the God. We are estranged from the message. Let's come back. Death to self. Your self-life is your greatest enemy. Amen. But how did Jesus Christ get your attention? When you were lost in sin, you had no thought of God. You couldn't save yourself. You couldn't do any atonement to make yourself worthy of salvation. How did he get to hit you? As I told you, he attracted your attention, and while you were there, he just dropped the blood on you. The blood hit your soul. And I believe the part of your soul that is affected by the blood is your will. You see, you had no will to serve God. Many of us thought about God. We'd like to do it, yes. But you know, tomorrow, maybe sometime, one day I'll be a Christian. Somehow, somewhere, you didn't have the will. But zap, the blood took your will. And as the blood hit your will changed. And every living one of us tonight who loves Jesus Christ as Savior would prefer to be like Jesus than to be anything else on earth. Whether it be the President of the United States, and I don't know any higher office, if somebody knows you can tell me. Or it be the King or the Queen of England. If you are offered that tonight, and you are also offered in the next hand, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, he said, let me be like Jesus. Amen. The sinner man would say, let me be the President. And then when I get to be the President, I will turn to the Lord. Lie. But he doesn't know that. Amen. If you don't turn to the Lord before you are the President, you haven't got a chance when you become the President. You've got to have the Lord deep down in you before you will ever remember God when you are the President.
Amen.
Because that's a lot of trouble. Lot of trouble. Praise God. I read of Washington who used to go and pray, cry to God in the evening. Yes, sir, he was unable. He knew he couldn't manage the task before him. And at one time God appeared to him and gave him such a vision and showed him the end time of the scripture and showed him the destruction that will come in our time. Yes, George Washington. Yes, sir. Now, after the will was hit, the salvation of the soul begins. And that's the time you come into debt. You start losing out. You lose your sin and your self-life is being threatened. Now are you going to give up your self-life? If you don't, you won't go any further. Because when self is dead, the man has just begun to live. Okay, so life enters into you. Now your mind begins to think new thoughts. You begin to get the mind of Christ. Let's read some things about the mind. Somebody read Luke 12:29. Luke 12:29.
Seek not ye what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind.
Read it out of verse.
For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you.
Praise God. Now, we find that the mind is the place that is in contact. Let me rub out here and draw you a picture. The mind is the head of the soul, the most spiritual part of the soul. God is pure spirit, marvelous, magnificent, powerful, God the Father. God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. Come next. And God has so reduced his spirit that his spirit can get in contact with our spirit and not overburden our spirit with power. So our spirit is a companion spirit to the Holy Ghost on account of the frequency. Anybody has a better word? The power or frequency that the spirit is on. Our spirits are on the same frequency. The Holy Ghost bows down, bring down himself to this frequency so that he can deal with our spirits. So the part of us that is in touch with God is our spirits. Now, the next spiritual part you have is your mind. Spirit of man. And this is our mind. So your spirit is in touch with your mind. So you call it your conscious mind and your subconscious mind. So much lies within your unconscious mind. I prefer to use that word. So much lies within your unconscious being. What do I mean by conscious? Conscious, I mean that your intellect is aware of the presence or the existence of a thought or an idea or a thing. Are you with me? We are in touch with earth through our bodies, and our five senses are the means by which we communicate to earth. Blank your five senses out and leave you as alive as you are. You are not in touch with this earth anymore. You won't feel, you won't hear, you won't see, you won't smell, you won't taste. Therefore, you won't be here, as far as you know. Your mind will be working. You will be in contact with the Spirit of God. But you won't be in contact with the earth because your body won't be working. You follow me? So when a man dies, what has happened is that he loses his body and his contact with earth. Amen. Now, with earth we contact, with our bodies we contact earth, with our spirits we contact heaven. Now, our intellect, our mind, no, I put it better than that. Our brain is the control panel. Are you with me? Any computer experts around? Our brain is the control panel of our body. And our brain is presided over by our mind. I'm dealing with body. In other words, the mind is the contact between your body and your spirit. Your brain is the control panel, and your mind is a spiritual being that is in charge of operating your brain. But then your spirit is the one that tells your mind right from wrong what to do. And then, don't you see the chain? If you put the Spirit of God over your spirit and you don't break the contact between your spirit and your mind, amen, then your mind will feed life into your spirit will feed life into your mind, and you'll become conscious of some supernatural things. Are you still with me? Good. Now, if then your mind is carnal, your mind is cutting off the flow of spirit and information between your spirit and picking up from the body, and the body is presided over by the devil. So you'll be picking up from other spirits rather than from your own spirit. And then these spirits are striving to take control of your mind. And so, if you have a doubtful mind, then you are under the control of a spirit of doubt. Let's check on Romans 7:25. Romans 7:25. He said, I thank God. 24 says, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ, O Lord, so that with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. He's speaking of the struggle between the flesh man and the spirit man. And the spirit man has won over the mind, so that he's no longer a sinner. His mind is now won over to the spirit, but his body is still having problems. Amen. But he says it's on Jesus Christ that he's going to overcome. Although at present, his mind is on one side and his actions are on the other side. But he knows once his mind is won over, he will win. Praise God. Now, we go on a little more, read something more about the mind. We take Romans 8 and 1 to 18 and then 27. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Because it means that those in Christ Jesus do not walk after the flesh, they do walk after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh. So what Jesus Christ did, he cut the communication. The flesh, the body, was sending evil communications into the soul, and Jesus Christ cut the communication, just as the devil is trying to cut the communication up here between spirit and mind. Jesus Christ cut the communication between flesh and soul. And that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. In other words, he's saying that there were certain things written in the law as righteousness that we should do, but we couldn't do them. And the only way we could attain unto these righteousness was by the Spirit. so that the righteousness of the law was fulfilled in us who walk after the Spirit. Once you're walking after the Spirit, you don't have to worry about any law. Amen. You fulfill all the law. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. You want to know whether you are after the flesh or after the Spirit. You just find out which one is more important to you. Is the flesh more important to you than the Spirit, or vice versa? And if the Spirit is more important to you, then you are in the Spirit and not in the flesh. It's as simple as that. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Once you are carnal minded, once you are looking about the things pertaining to this life and this world, you cannot please God. Impossible. So the man who tells you, brother, he said, you give me a good offering and God will bless you. And the more you give me, the more God will give you back. I say, okay, this is a good deal. He said, if I give him $10 and God may give me back 20, I said, and he said, man, you give me $10, God's going to give you a double portion. You gave me the $10, the next thing happened, God gave you a double portion. You say, it's a good deal. You give 20 next time. Amen. You get back more, you give more. If you are giving to get back, God said, then you are carnally minded. You can do a good thing with a carnal intention. Some good preachers go out and preach a good message with a carnal intention. To either bless themselves or to get the people to believe in them or something else. But you can do a very good thing. You can do the work of God with carnal intention. I don't want you to drop off one by one. Amen. But we got to finish this, you know. Enmity against God. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. How many people don't understand that? But brethren, it's so simple. You accept Jesus Christ, you get the blood of Jesus. You accept the Holy Ghost, you get the Holy Ghost. And then you get Jesus inside of the Holy Ghost. You accept and obey the Holy Ghost, you get the Christ. Amen. And the Christ develops in you, and that is your immortality. One day when Jesus come forth, that means you are also come forth. When he shall appear, you shall also appear. That's it. It's very simple as that. You got Jesus in you, but it's to loose him out. To let him have a resurrection, let him come out of this tomb. You are the tomb. Amen. Let's go on. If Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. We can't deal with those tonight. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if we live after the flesh, we shall die. But if we through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Sisters, when you put on your clothes to go out in the morning, have you ever thought of it? Whether you are wearing what the people want you to wear, what the world wants you to wear, or what you like to wear, or what is good for you, or what. You ever analyze that situation? Sit down yourself and analyze it. And really come face yourself and come to an honest conclusion. Are you doing the things that you want to do? You like them. You like to do that. If it is worldly, then you know right away that you are worldly and you need to repent of that. Or you're just doing the things to please the world. Which God said, if you love the world and the things that are in the world, the love of God is not in you. Amen. I don't understand that either. For as many as are led of the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now this is my contention, brethren. I've always been on it. I say, if you are led by the Spirit of God, you are a son of God. In the converse, if you are not led by the Spirit of God, you are not a son of God. You may be a child of God, somehow born again, saved, you know, but not a son of God. You have no authority in God's house. So it is those who are led by the Spirit of God that are sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again unto fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirits that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, and heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Verse 27, and he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit. What kind of mind you have? Because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Praise his holy name. Now, let's see if we can get through with this then. We find here the mind, therefore, is the head of the soul. Jesus Christ came to seek and to save that which was lost. Your mind was a lost mind. You thought on the world, you believed in the world, you went after the world. All your thinking was about self and world. Now it is changed. Then we find the emotions. Jesus saved you. Are you saved in your emotions? I give you a minute to check that over. Is your emotion saved? Some people still get in a mad temper. Some people's emotional lives are terrible. Yeah. No condemnation, just terrible. You gotta get it fixed up. Amen. And bless God, there is hope in Jesus Christ for all the terrible emotions. Some people are saved, but they're not saved in their desires. You see, when all these are saved, then you are really delivered. The whole creation is going to follow you. And this is the struggle. All men and all women on the earth tonight are in the same struggle to one degree or another. There is none that can look down his nose on the other and say, you, because if I was really perfect, you would be perfect also, because I'd pray for you immediately. Yeah. I'd have perfect love, and I'd want to see every child of God delivered, and I'd pray for you immediately. See, so you can understand what we're talking about. Emotion saved, will saved, desire saved, mind saved, your soul saved. Until then, your soul is being saved. Amen. But something you say, thank God. Your spirit is saved. Yeah. Once your spirit is in contact with your mind, flooding your mind with life, your spirit is saved. The Holy Ghost takes charge of the spirit of man, and your spirit becomes as perfect as God will ever have your spirit to be. You, therefore, have perfection in you. Amen? Let's skip. It's a pity we have to skip all these good scriptures. Amen? But let's skip down to the Colossians 3, and 5, where we see something about murdering, killing. Amen. This is the only part of the scripture we tell you you must kill. Colossians 3, verse 5, tell you to kill. Kill, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. Mortify means to kill. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, affections that are not ordained. Somebody has an inordinate affection for a cat, and they love that cat more than they love any human being. Yes, sir. And the other day I had a friend, he had a dog, and they put the dog in a place, and the dog got himself all tied up, and they were gone to work. The dog couldn't reach the food, and he was there squealing. The neighbors heard him, and instead of going over and releasing the dog and putting properly, they called the, what you call, SPC or something. SPCA. And the SPCA sent down a warrant and arrested the man. Put him in jail. Could hardly get him out. A dog was, well, ill-treated. And they begin to ill-treat a man. And he had to pay some big fine. And he had to really plead with them before they would give him back his dog. Amen. And they call that good, you see. Now I call that evil, see. I call that inordinate affection. The affection was placed in the wrong place. They should teach the man not to, how to fix the dog properly. You know what I mean? Seem to hear us. They should teach the man how to fix the dog properly. No, we're talking about dogs, he comes. Yes, how to fix the dog properly so that that don't happen again, you know. But to say throw the man in jail and mistreat him because he inadvertently hurt the dog, then that was just inordinate affection. And I know some dogs that are eating better than some people at this time. And some dogs are living in better circumstances. And I tell you, I believe some people are going to suffer for those things. We're still dealing, we are now dealing with emotions. We have inordinate affection. Unnatural. What do we mean by inordinate? We mean by an affection that was not ordained of God. God wants us to love our animals, but God don't want us to put animals above human beings. Amen. And so we have men loving men as men should love women. And that is not love, of course. We're using the word wrongly here. That is just what you call lust and affection. Wrong affections, inordinate affection, women doing the same to women. And they're not only doing it now, but they're preaching it. It's a doctrine. And they say that's the way to go. Amen. Now, let's read Romans 1, 26 and 31. And that will give us an idea of what I'm talking about. Somebody read it as you find it, 26 and 31.
For this cause God gave unto violent affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature.
Verse 31.
Without understanding, covetous, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful.
Praise God. Now, what kind of affection should we have? Turn to Romans 12 and verse 10. Find it, read it.
Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another.
Praise God. In honor. We honor one another. We honor each other's feelings. Amen. We honor each other's feelings. We wouldn't hurt or do anything towards one another that would belittle, hurt, or degrade another brother. You'd rather allow yourself to be, you know, trodden under rather than hurt one another. God said preferring one another. Isn't that something wonderful? Therefore, God wants us to be very affectionate. Have kind affection. When you open up your emotions and let the affections of God sweep in, then you begin to start to feel like God feels. You think we can feel like God feels? Yes, it is possible. And this is what Jesus felt. Kindly affection, one to another. The affections are described, or the emotions are described as a lion, a wild beast. And this wild beast has to be superseded by the love of Jesus Christ to be brought down to a tame creature. We leave affections and we go to the will. And we think of John 1:13. John 1:13. Speaking of the birth of Jesus Christ, says here, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So God has a will in all our matters. Speaking of the birth of Jesus, he was not born of the will of man because somebody said, I want a child. Amen. Neither after the will of the flesh because somebody feels something, but of the will of God to bring forth righteousness. Well, all our thoughts and our actions can be born of God. Hallelujah. In Matthew 7 and 21, we saw Jesus Christ surrendering his will like a sacrifice. Praise God. It's, what did I say a while ago? It shouldn't be that. It should be 17. Let's see. Oh, did you read it? Did I say Matthew?
Yeah.
Read it for me, somebody. Let's see what it
is. 7:21?
Yeah.
Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven.
Yes. He that doeth the will of the Father shall enter into the kingdom. Praise God. Matthew 18 and 14 probably would give us what we're looking for. Even so, it is not the will of the Father which is in heaven, that one of these little ones should perish. We're talking about the will here, and we can see that man has a will, Man has a will, and God has a will. And Jesus, as a man, had a will. Turn to Luke 22:42. Jesus, as a man, had a will of his own, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Amen. Now that's where I want to take you. We find here this last picture that I will give you here is a picture of a soul blessed with all the blessings of God, the gifts of healing, the gift of tongues, the gifts of interpretation, give me more gifts, just name them out. Prophecy, knowledge, discernment, faith, wisdom, and more. All the gifts a soul blessed, just giving out all the gifts, and then God put you to a final test to see if you're going to use your gifts, if you're going to use your soul power, or you're going to surrender it to him for use in a crisis. Here comes the devil slamming into you as hard as he can. And if you say one word to him, you're going to blast him off. And you won't say the word because God didn't want you to do that. Jesus said, okay, God, not my will, but thy will be done. That was the final test, brethren. Jesus was lighting a fire upon his own soul and burning up all his goodness as a sweet-smelling savor before God. The surrender of the goodness that God has given you back to God for God's use is the greatest, and that is the salvation of the soul. That's the time your soul really comes into its salvation. Said, he that loveth his life shall lose it, but he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. And this is what we're talking about. The salvation of the soul. When man's soul, when his soul power, his goodness, his gifts, and all that he possesses, he can pack them up and offer them back to God and say, God, I won't use them unless you tell me to. Amen. God bless you. Any questions?
How do we know what he tells us?
Well, it's very simple. If you want to use them, and if you feel like you should use them, and you ask God if this is what he wants you to do, and God does not have an objection inside of your soul, then he's allowing you to do it. Sometimes you don't hear a big booming voice, but you also feel good about doing it. And God won't allow you to feel good if you're not right. You feel some drawback. Don't let anybody press you into it. If you feel a drawback about doing anything, just anything. Amen. I have an appointment to meet a person and I don't feel to go. Just don't feel to get up, dress, going out to the car, I don't feel right. I turn back in, I pray, it's worse. Don't feel right, worse. It gets worse. I don't feel to go. I don't go. The person didn't come. Yeah. Didn't go. And it just worked beautifully right out that I should not have been there. If you can trust God to work in your heart, God will work in your heart. If you can trust Him.
Now, then, just to put it right on the plain level, the tongues tonight, you know, I didn't feel any secondary, I felt kind of joy and a peace that's one thing about it.
Yeah.
But yet there wasn't any interpretation as such, I'll put it that way, you know, like there generally is. Now, could I have still missed it?
Well, I don't believe so. You weren't taught to speak in tongues of yourself, were you? In other words, there are some groups who tell the people must just say kada baba shabalaba shamaya shamaya, you know, and that they must do that. And that kind of thing is not tongue. It's not tongue. You see, but when you feel the move of the Spirit speaking through you, it is kind of wrong to even think that the doubt, you see, could doubt. From what I know, there was an interpretation. It's only for some reason unknown to us, there was not a thus saith the Lord interpretation, but Mary said she did get something. How you got it, May? Did you hear it or what?
Yeah, I heard the words about the cross really meaning, you know, and then it was like I got the understanding.
Yeah.
And then I expressed it.
Right. You see, I don't know why, for the same reason. I see it now. For the same reason that you did not speak aloud and with like you were giving a message. Mm-hmm. It's the same reason why the interpretation
love,
came.
But I have been told many times that it wasn't love, though. You know, I mean, it's barely hear me.
Quite. Well, that is the will of the Lord. You see, for some reason, either that probably he was talking to you, or I don't know, he could have been talking to the whole congregation, but he made it low, and for that very reason, the interpretation wasn't fiery or loud. It came in a soft way, and she gave it just as it came, you see. Instead of saying, thus saith the Lord, and so, she just talk what God said, you see, because she doesn't get the anointing to shout out an interpretation. She doesn't. Now I know some people who will shout out an interpretation, although they did not get the anointing to do it that way. You get the interpretation sometimes, and you don't get the anointing to shout it out. You just probably get the anointing to speak it, you see, and so. Many times it goes like that. So never doubt the Lord or the tongues that the Lord will speak through you.
I think possibly, or I've wondered anyway, if possibly the fact that we are afraid of our own mistakes, that we don't talk about these things, ask questions and bring it out in order for each one of us to understand this a little bit better.
It is itself to be afraid of your own mistakes. You shouldn't care about your mistakes. See? Because if you make a mistake, then you're going to learn from that mistake, so you shouldn't really care. You should just give out. You rather to be wrong than to see God's people who need a word and you didn't give it. In other words, you are so willing to be used by God that you yourself is put down, and God intends that the self must be put down too.
Well, this is the first time that I've come across teaching that would encourage one to go ahead and speak with the understanding that there's no need to be afraid of being wrong because it's what you learn.
Well, that's the...
This is the end of message, M. 075. The Salvation of the Soul.